There was a Christian lady that had to do a lot of flying for her business. So naturally, she did a lot of flying. Flying made her extremely nervous, so she always took her Bible along with her to read, since it helped relax her on the long flights. One time, she was sitting next to a man. When he saw her pull out her Bible, he gave a little chuckle, smirked, and went back to what he was doing. After a while, he turned to her and asked, "You don't really believe all that stuff in there, do you?" The lady replied, "Of course I do. It is the Bible." He said, "Well, what about the guy that was swallowed by the whale?" She replied, "Oh, Jonah. Yes, I believe that. It is in the Bible." He asked, "Well, how do you suppose he survived all that time inside the whale?" The lady said, "Well, I don't really know. I guess when I get to heaven, I will ask him." "What if he isn't in heaven?" the man asked sarcastically. "Then you can ask him," replied the lady. How very true. And that fictional man is a perfect example of the utter contempt so much modern society has for God and the things of God. The man knew enough about Christianity to recognize a Bible when he saw one. He'd heard about Jonah. He watched her read. But he wanted to show off his innate superiority and knowledge. So he condescendingly asked her about the Bible, expecting to prove that her faith was baseless. The Bible wasn't true, and she would do so much better by coming around to his way of thinking. Well, it essentially backfired on him. And the same will happen for us, too. If we thought things were bad during the Obama presidency, we've just entered what's essentially a third term of the Obama presidency. Recall how we revised our church's bylaws 5 years ago so as to help protect us if we were to face lawsuits against our biblical practices? That threat all but disappeared during Donald Trump's time in office, but it's now reared its grotesque, deformed, demonic visage yet again. Remember those years ago when we prayed for the Equality Act to be defeated? Guess what? That's back too, like a reeking vampire that just won't stay dead. We have to start praying against it again, lest we completely lose our religious freedom to be a faithful church as we understand God wants. Just as the man in the joke was familiar with the Bible, the church, and Christians, that very low-level exposure to the things of God, which comes as a result of living in what was mostly a Christian country, has become a collection of traditions, customs, and old historic practices of the country. But he and millions more people like him feel that they have outgrown those old-fashioned, outdated ideas and outmoded lifestyles. Thus, most everything that used to be highly regarded, most people now treat us at best with polite sympathy for our pitiable ignorance, or with outright contempt, disdain, and hate at worst. But like the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 1:9, there is nothing new under the sun. This state of affairs is hardly new. Right. It's been cycling in and out, over and over, for thousands of years. Indeed, the whole of human history. The Bible's own object lesson, people group, the Israelites, are held up in all their glorious obedience and despicable, loathsome rebellion. They, and therefore we too, receive the commandments of God through Moses, whom God used to deliver our ancestors from cruel slavery to the Egyptians. Among those commandments are those listed in Deuteronomy 18:9-14, which it seems that many people overlook because they're not as famous as the Ten Commandments. In these few short verses, God takes great pains to make sure the people, we, understand. Verse 9 says, "Be very careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there." We're to be very careful to steer clear of them. Of what? The detestable customs. Sounds like they're truly bad things. The next few verses list several of them as the typical types of a whole array of horrible, abhorrent things that anyone who even claims to be a believer must at all costs avoid, like the plague. The first one is abortion and child sacrifice. The list goes on to mention all manner of occult practices. You know those things that so many people these days practice and diligently study. Not least of them, that shirtless QAnon shaman, wacko occultist who masqueraded as a Trump supporter in the Capitol on January 6th. But why do they search our ancient writings for hidden knowledge and wisdom? Well, because the church and Christianity and Lord Jesus are so last century, traditional, and irrelevant to the modern scientific world, they're just passé, relics of an ancient time. Worse, they've all been discredited, and those of us who still believe in them are as obsolete and useless as reel-to-reel tapes and video cassette recorders. Or so the modern, progressive, enlightened folks smugly conclude. But it is precisely because these people have abandoned all connections with God, His Word, and true history that so many have turned to all manner of abominable occult practices. In our day, trending now are depraved sexual practices, body mutilations, and baby and child sacrifice in ways so horrific that most of us cannot even imagine them. Remove God from life, and everything evil rushes in. For we are spiritual beings, as God created us to be as He breathed His Spirit into Adam. So without the spiritual dimension operating within us, we cease to exist. So if we expel God, then we inevitably and unwittingly, simultaneously allow other spiritual beings to rush in. And there's no shortage of them. Which is why Father God expressly forbids His people from fortune-telling, sorcery, omens, witchcraft, spells, mediums, psychics, and channeling the dead. Even just dabbling at any of these things puts a flashing neon welcome sign on our souls, inviting all manner of unclean spirits to just come on down and move on in. Like the man in the synagogue possessed by an evil spirit, this devil ignorantly confronted Lord Jesus, spiritually recognizing who Jesus was. For its trouble, Lord Jesus promptly cast it out, and the man was set free. It's quite obvious, at least to me, that there are a whole lot of people who need to be set free from these demons they've invited into their bodies. Such folks are all around us. Some might actually be acquaintances, friends, even family members. Such people flock to government and other influential positions in society. This should never have happened here, but it has. And we, the people of God, need to understand what we're up against. So, with Holy Spirit's power working within us, we can push back against the darkness and truly let the spiritual light within us shine out and show the way back to life and truth to those whom Holy Spirit will open their eyes to see. We know them by their fruit. Many people claim to be people of true and right faith, but their actions belie their words. It's sorrowful that the most obvious example right now is the current occupant of the presidency. The New York Times just praised Biden as, quote, the most religiously observant commander-in-chief in half a century. Of course, that newspaper is as blind as a bat. Actually, blinder, for bats have precise echolocation abilities. It is totally blind, yet claims to see. For the fruit of just its first week, this administration has broken just about every commandment God ever gave. Religiously observant, my behind. But cognizant of their complicity or not, the legacy media and the powers that be on the world stage are engaged in an elaborate theatrical production, hoping to hoodwink and distract the masses of people that God gave his son's life for, into accepting their false, demonic, antichrist construct of reality that leads to final destruction. Biden and others have declared that any and everyone who supported President Trump in the past election are, quote, domestic terrorists and need to be, quote, deprogrammed. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch commanded, quote, silent enablers must now publicly condemn Trumpism. This same newspaper, over 100 years ago, published on its front page the latest hymn of famed blind Christian author Fanny Crosby. Among her more than 8,000 hymns were the classics Blessed Assurance and Rescue the Perishing. I suppose the Post's editors today would explain away their previous editorial decision, saying they just reflected the sentiments of a then ignorant and racist past era in American history. It's clear that God, the Bible, and us, his people, are the objects of contempt today. No longer just disrespected, pitied, and looked down upon. Today, we've graduated to the status of criminal outlaws, deserving of being rounded up and brainwashed of our delusional, irrational faith. But though things might get difficult for us for a while, despite that, the fact that some of us may even serve jail time, it doesn't really matter. For yes, God is still on the throne, and he is with us no matter what comes our way. If we're subjected to something, so is he. And since he always gets the last word, so will we. His perfect plan is unfolding even as we speak. So just hold on, folks. Keep standing. He's with us all the way and working his purpose out gloriously. We will see it. Let us pray. Lord, even though we don't understand oftentimes how you go about doing things, that doesn't matter, because we have our faith steadfastly anchored in you. And thank you for being with us through whatever you call us to go through. For we know you will have the final victory and bring many millions to salvation in the process. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.